for that sweet dessert of your day, you've got the ice cream, the pie crust, the apples, and the sugar. What are you missing? Cinnamon. So here's your little dose of cinnamon now.
Hello, 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 everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Cinnamon Chronicles. I, of course, am your crazy navigator, Cinnamon, here to bring you along on this journey, on this episode or perspective of life from my angle. I know a lot of people say that their grandmas, you know, they've had the best grandmas in the world, but I have to say that mine is right up there with some of the best. So, without further ado, let me tell you about my grandma. For some reason, I've been thinking a lot about my grandma these days. It's just been recently. I'm not really sure quite why, but I think because of the transition that I've been going through over the last probably 12 months, she's kind of been a little bit more on my mind, and I'm thinking now it's probably because the messages that she gave to me. As I said before, I did spend a lot of time with my grandmother. I was extremely fortunate. Both my sister Bears and I grew up and were in the same town she did, and so we spent a lot of time with her, not only as little ones. As I said, I traveled with her and my grandfather quite a bit when I was a kid. And I also spent a lot of my summers there, only because it was just really cool to be a grandma's. You were treated like a little princess. She cooked everything, but the one thing she did in the summertime was canning, and that was one of my favorite things to do with her, and I'm so fucking surprised I don't do it anymore, but when I was a kid, I enjoyed it. We canned tomato juice, and I remember grinding the tomato, cutting up the tomatoes and putting them in the grinder, and tomatoes were never really a thing that I really, really liked, but for some reason, the aroma of grinding that juice, when I smell the tomato juice, it takes me back to that time, that summers that I spent at Grandma's canning tomato juice with my great Aunt Thelma, who was also a big influence for me. Both of those were very, very strong women, and when you're fortunate enough to have strong women like that in your life, you are blessed. Beyond measure are you blessed. My grandmother taught me some really good lessons, and you know, when she said these things to me at the time, I thought to myself, what the fuck? But yet, she really kind of, I learned a lot by observing her. I learned a lot by observing anyway. But I learned a lot by observing her. When my grandfather passed away, I was summer, you know, preteen, or, you know, somewhere going into my teens. And I remember it vividly. I believe I was 14 at the time, but it was a time, it was devastating for her because she was totally dependent on my grandfather. She did everything for him. She did everything for her family. She was truly a servant. She served her children. She served her husband. She served her family, and she served her community. She served her community well. And I was very inspired by that. And, you know, you just kind of want to drink all that shit up when you're a kid. But she gave me some early lessons once I became a teenager and I became older. She gave me some lessons on life. As going back to what I was talking about when my grandfather passed away, at that time, because my grandmother was a servant to my grandfather so much and she was so dependent on him for everything, when he passed, she was devastated. She couldn't balance a checkbook. She couldn't drive a car. She never learned how to do any of that. She knew nothing about money. She just knew it was always there when she needed it. So there were a lot of things for her to learn. And I remember when I saw her going through that, I remember making a conscious decision that I honestly didn't want to ever see myself in a situation like that, because of how it devastated her. I can't imagine being that dependent on someone that you don't even know how to swim on your own, basically. And that's basically where she was. So she had to relearn everything. But she didn't unlearn what she did know. She was a fantastic fucking cook. Oh my God, she freaking killed us all with kindness. The spreads on the holidays were just crazy. And this woman was the kind of woman, when her children were in school, she would walk down to the local hamburger place or little bar and grill, have hamburgers and french fries and chocolate fucking cake and sodas, and walk it to the park for them for their lunch out at school outings. That's the kind of woman she was. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And again, I learned a lot from her. But that was one lesson she taught me. And she also taught me a lot about men. And she would always say to me, Cinnamon. Actually, no, she would call me Banny Joe. That was her favorite. My nickname was Banny Joe. And she named me after a little Banny chicken. She named me after a little Banny chicken because I was a little, kind of a little bit of a weakling. And I'll continue with a little bit more right after this. She never called me by my given name, of course, but as I said, she did call me Banny Joe, again, like I said, that she got from a little Banny chicken, because when I was sickly, I just reminded her of a little Banny chicken, so again, that became my nickname. My family was big on nicknames. Everybody had crazy fucking nicknames. We had several, too, thanks to my father. But she would always tell me, or she would tell me things like, you know, Banny Joe, you know, don't live with a man, or don't marry a man, live with him first, because you learn a lot about him when you live with him. And oh, fuck, was she right about that? Sometimes, you know, It doesn't take you long to learn about that shit at all. So that was good advice, and I've taken heed to that many times now, and I listened several times. But more than anything, I loved hanging out with her. She was just fun to hang out with. She had a laugh. She just had this beautiful, loud, boisterous laugh, and sometimes I hear her when I laugh myself, because she was the first one to laugh at herself too. She's the crazy ass shit. She told me a story one time, or I remember them telling me a story of when they were younger, and when she had my uncle, which was her first child, and her and Aunt Thelma were goofing off one day, and they decided to put him in the refrigerator just to see if they could hear him cry. Of course, back in those days, that could have been considered child abuse, but the fact that she was crazy enough to do something like that, but she said, you know, she goes, I didn't leave him in there very long, which I totally believe that. This woman would fall down, you know, she was doppy, and sometimes I think this is where I get it, and I think it's where Mom got it, too. She was doppy. My mom told me a story one time of when my grandfather had some land, and at one time they were all walking this land, and my grandfather, of course, was leading the path, as the patriarch usually did, and it was my mom and my dad and my grandmother and a couple of other people, I think one of my uncles or something, but they were walking, and of course my grandmother falls into this ditch. And my grandfather, of course, turns around and looks at him and looks at her, and he's like, well, God damn it, Marcella. And he turns around to my dad, and my uncle looks at him and he goes, well, somebody pick her up. And he just proceeded to walk along. And of course, they're all laughing hysterically. And, you know, that's just the kind of person she was. God bless her heart. But she did love to have fun. Her laugh was absolutely catching. I loved also kind of, you know, hanging out and cleaning with her. She was always very, very good about when you came and helped her, or when you come to help her clean her house or anything like that. She paid you very well. You know, when you're a kid, that's exciting shit when you're little. You know, you always had a little spending money. But I love how she cleaned. We would clean feverishly, but she would clean in increments. We would clean hard for about 20, 25 minutes, and then we'd stop, take about 10, 15, 20-minute breaks sometimes. So it balanced out, but we got it all done. But it honestly, it was some of the best years of my life. And one of my favorite things to do with her was to take her to the beauty shop. She was a weekly beauty shop lady. She had her lady that did her hair frequent, I mean, every week, same bad time, same bad channel. And oh my God, bless this woman. She had hardly any hair on top, but they did such a good job of taking care of it for her. But it was always one of my favorite things to take her on these hair appointments. I would do this on Thursdays after school. I would get off school and come right in. And of course, the advantages of being in grandma's and, and taking her to the beauty shop is you got to drive the Cadillac, the big red Cadillac. We all loved it. It was a coupe de ville. It was fucking awesome. I believe I've talked about this before, the red leather seats and all that shit. Yes. So I learned how to drive a boat pretty fucking quick. Oh, but of course, I got to be a really good driver after a while because, of course, our beauty shop was up on a hill and it had this very, very, very tight area. So you learned how to back and you learned how to park really fucking quick. The bad thing about Grandma is she just had this habit. If she got done early, instead of calling and say, "Hey, I'm done early," she would start walking home. So here I would be heading out to that time and I'd see this crazy little woman with her purse on her arm, walking with a big smile on her face, walking home. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what are you doing?" And she didn't care. She goes, "Oh, I didn't want to bother you. I felt like I needed to walk." God bless her. God, I miss her every day. These are some of my favorite things that I remember about my grandma. Food, of course, that was her big thing. She would cook the most hellacious spreads for holidays, especially holidays, honestly. She would have everything for everyone. She would have hamburgers and French fries for the kids. She would have turkey. She would have ham. She would even have fucking meatloaf. Yes, she made the most killer meatloaf. I learned how to make meatloaf from my grandma. There's a few things I did learn from her. Spaghetti. She was, oh my God, she was fucking incredible at cooking spaghetti. And she, of course, you always got a good hamburger and French fries at grandma's. She would cook it slow, low and slow over the burner. It had the most excellent taste. And of course, she would grill too. But holidays were extremely special. I remember many Christmases. Oh my heavens. She had the most beautiful Christmas tree in the world. Grandpa always got her a flocked tree. And she had these beautiful blue lights that she had on it. And she also had this musical tree stand that would make the tree spin. And these little ornaments on it that looked like little diamonds with little elves and all kinds of really cool magical shit. Just honestly, you really thought you thought you were in Candyland, or I did. I thought I had some of the best Christmases ever with my cousins. Just family was important. But cooking was her thing. But she did some crazy ass shit too. There were times when I would stay with her, and I gotta tell you though, you never had dirty clothes at her house. Seriously, the second your clothes hit the fucking ground, she had them grabbed up and in the washer, folded and pressed and ready to go for you before you even could shake a stick. I remember sleeping in the beds there, the sheets were always so crisp, so clean, and so just comfortable. Everything about that was comforting to me. It was seriously, it was like being my own little princess. And she treated each of us that way when we stayed at her. She didn't treat anyone any differently. Everyone was the same in her book. But talking about some of the crazy things she did, I remember one morning after this was when I was a senior in high school and I was staying with her one time, and I'd gotten a new car for graduation, and it was a Trans Am, and this woman, she loved my car. She thought it was a really cool car. She enjoyed riding in it. By that time, you know, the Cadillac was done and gone, and we were in my Trans Am, and I just remember walking out one morning. I was getting ready to go to school. I had spent the school week with her, and she was fucking washing my car with a mop at the crack ass in the morning, and it's like, I just remember looking at her shaking my head, and but of course, my breakfast was ready and on the table for me whenever I was ready to go. She was absolutely incredibly amazing, and I'm also amazed what she learned after my grandfather passed away in such a short period of time. Of course, she never really learned how to drive, but she did learn how to balance her own checkbook, how to handle her own money, and to be more independent. That was more amazing to me and more inspiring to me than anything she could have ever done, is to see her recover in that short of a period of time and find her own place. And there were a few men who wanted to date her, but she remained faithful. She wanted no one any longer. My grandfather was the one for her, and she was fine on her own after that. Again, she didn't want to be that dependent anymore, and you gotta respect a woman for that. Grandma and Dad had a very unique relationship. I was told the story at first by my father that when him and Mom first got married, that he wasn't her favorite. Grandma didn't care for him very much. My maternal grandparent didn't. And they battled quite a bit. Not really sure what turned the corner for them, but he turned out to be actually one of her favorite son-in-laws. She had two, but I mean, he was closer, so he was her favorite son-in-law. She loved him probably just about as much as she did her sons. They all three got along crazy. They were just, the three of them together were just hysterical. Of course, Dad was the, my dad and my uncle were the, my youngest uncle actually, they were the laborers, and of course, my older uncle of the two, he was actually the supervisor. But they were funny. My dad was a gentleman at heart, and he believed that, that men should pay when you go out to dinner. So there was a lot of battles with my grandparents, even with my grandma, my dad, when we would go to dinner, because of course, you know, him being the chivalrous person he was, he would, you know, they would battle a little bit, and it was just kind of funny. You know, Grandma always won. She would always stuff money in Dad's pocket for it to pay for dinner and shit, but Dad, you know, bless his heart, you know, he took it, but it wasn't something that he liked to do that often, because again, he was a little chivalrous, and he thought women needed to be taken care of. But I have to say, the funniest story of my grandmother was one told by my youngest sister, Bear. After I went to school, she became the, she inherited entertaining Grandma and taking her around and, you know, getting all of her errands and everything taken care of. And there was one time where her and Grandma called her, and they needed to do some errands. So they decided, you know, she went to go get her. And of course, you know, she had a whole list of things that she needed to do. She would, first of all, they needed to go to the post office, and then they needed to go to get gas for the car, of course, because, you know, we got to have enough gas in the car. She always made sure you had enough fucking gas in your car. I mean, my gas tank was nearly full all the time with her. But one time, they decided to go out on their little adventures, and Grandma had a tendency to wear, she kind of got into polyester after a while. The woman wore dresses forever, but after a while she started wearing pantsuits. You know, she discovered pants, and she thought they were the, you know, neatest thing next to sliced bread, so she started wearing pantsuits. And of course, she started to make her own pantsuits. She sewed her own pantsuits, and she wore, you know, bright colors. And this one particular day, she had a very bright purple polyester pantsuit that she had made herself. And so her and Sister Bear, they go off on their little adventure, and they go to the gas station and get gas. And she comes walking out with, you know, drinks and hot dogs. They were 50 cents, so she was excited. She bought them both a hot dog and bought them both sodas. And so they chart off on their little adventures, and they get to the post office. And Grandma, of course, you know, she sets her hot dog down beside her, and she rolls down the window and leans over to mail everything she had to mail at the post office, and she sits back down. And she just starts looking around, and she's like, "Nay," which is what she called Sister Bear, "Nay, I've lost my hot dog." And she's like, Nay's like, "What? What do you mean you've lost your hot dog?" "Well, I can't find it." And so they proceed to look for it. And she's like, you know, no idea where this hot dog disappeared to. But I guess when she had leaned to the side to mail her stuff in the mailbox, the hot dog had fallen down into her seat. And she proceeded to sit on it. So she, you know, finally figures out it. She leans over and Nay sees it, and she's like, "There it is." And of course, you know, she had mustard. So needless to say, on her purple polyester suit outfit that she had on, she had a huge fucking mustard stain on it where she had sat on her hot dog. And I mean, this woman had a laugh that would just, she had the most crazy laugh, and she just belted out this huge laugh. And of course, they laughed about that all the way home. And of course, they proceeded to tell the story about the hot dog and how it seemed to disappear. This is just one of many things that my grandma did. She was absolutely fucking crazy, and I loved the daylights out of her. Even though I was fortunate enough to have all of my grandparents, two and two, each set of grandparents got along really well. My paternal grandmother, I didn't spend a lot of time with her, although I did. I do have fond memories of her, but most of them are brief because she passed away when I was a lot younger. And my grandfather came to live with us. My dad's dad came to live with us. So I was fortunate enough to live with my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, who was a beautiful, crazy, fun, older German gentleman that I remember sitting on his lap and listening to Mr. Rogers. But most of my time was spent with my maternal grandmother and grandfather. They were the most influential grandparents I had in my life. I traveled with them. I spent a lot of time with them, summers, and honestly, it made for a very, very fun childhood. That woman, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was probably one of the most influential people in my life. She was my best friend, and she was my grandma, and I couldn't imagine living my life any time at all without her. I learned so much from her, and I miss her every day. But you know what? I know there'll be a day when I will see her again, and I know I will hear that laugh, and it will make me just as happy as it did when I'm a child. Thank you all once again for listening to my episode. I appreciate all of your support, and remember that through it all, we just have to keep moving forward. And we all know that forward is never a straight line. Enjoy the curves, everyone, but stay in your lane.